shiner. Shine on the one that's gone and proved and true. Bloom on up, Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. It was on a moonlight night, the stars shining bright, and they whispered from on high, your love said goodbye. Bloom on up, Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and said goodbye.
Holy smokes! It's Brian Vinny Show, everybody. It's June 19th, 2012. Here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We got Vinny here on the line.
Yes.
Wow! That show got me off to a rockin' start, or that song right there. So anyway, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty here today. It's going to be kind of short on wrestling today. At least at this point. I may change my mind later. We're largely just going to talk about Raw. SmackDown's in the past, as is the pay-per-view, which Vinny didn't watch.
So, I'm so happy, by the way. You usually go to Oregon every week.
Well, I could have dragged you down there, which I will maybe do next time.
Really?
Listen, Vinny. You would have had enough fun at the beach to offset having to watch this pay-per-view for 3 hours. That's a guarantee.
The beach sounds nice.
It was awesome.
I don't think you could drag me anywhere. I'm very fat.
Well, that is true. I'd have to use some sort of towing
forklift
accoutrement.
Or something.
But anyway, we're here to talk about Raw, and we've also got some very important news to discuss, that being my upcoming trip, presumably along with young Vincent, to hunt Sasquatch. I'm not making this up. For those of you that are freeloaders, and I know we got a lot of freeloaders listening today, for those of you that are freeloaders, my wife, very quickly, as a backstory, for my birthday has gotten me an expedition to go out with the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization into what they claim was the Northern Cascades, although, given that it's down by St. Helens, I don't think that's correct.
I think the Cascades go to California.
Well, the Northern Cascades are, like, up around here. But anyway, the Northern Cascades are claiming.
You're so missing my point.
We're going, I know it's north of California, you geek. But if these are people that normally operate in Washington, then the Northern Cascades would be up here, not down there.
Up around OMAC, yes.
So anyway, we're going to head out there into the woods, and if you are a freeloader, you are unfortunately going to miss out on much of this tale, because it is time to document this from start to finish. And we're going to start that tonight. We're going to be joined by a guest. It is my buddy Richard. And Richard, largely due to his great size, has been chosen as the leader of our party. And he has been in contact with this fella from the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. And he had a long talk with him today about what we can expect up here in these woods. And what the expectations are for us. Now, Rich attempted to explain some of this to me today, but I hushed him. I said, I don't want to hear about it till the show. So I'm going to ask all my questions here on the air, as I presume will Vinny as well. And we're going to get to the bottom of this situation. Now, the trip is not taking place until late July. So we're going to keep everybody abreast of the situation from now until the day that we leave. And before I leave, I will decide whether I am going to attempt to broadcast from the site of the expedition.
Just the woods?
Well, there's a hotel 30 minutes away. Or whether I'm just going to disappear for 3 days, and you could all wonder whether or not I'm going to return. So, perhaps I'll put it to a vote. Perhaps some of you won't even want me to return. But that is not up to you. That is up to the Yeti. So anyway, let's get Richard here on the line, and let's learn a little bit about Bigfoot. I'm going to ambush him. He knows we're calling, he just doesn't know you'll immediately be on the air.
Hello, this is Richard.
Richard?
Hello.
You're on the air, my man.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, let's find an area where your cell phone's working all right.
Let's see. I think I've got no...
Thanks, Rich. See you next time.
Off to a great start here with this ambush. Richard?
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Is this what it's going to be like on the expedition? Just no communication whatsoever?
Yeah. Wow.
It's awesome. Rich, your phone sucks. What are we going to do about this?
I think, how about now?
That's a little bit better.
You know, I have to go outside of my stinking apartment to do this.
Sorry, Richard. We'll try and keep it quick.
That's all right.
Liar.
All right, Richard, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
A little bit about me? Well, I know Brian from martial arts.
That's right.
I know Vinny from Brian.
That's right.
Grew up in Eastern Washington, where they got big feet.
Now, Rich, I, if I recall correctly, I had you on the Christmas show talking a little bit about Bigfoot, but I don't remember any of it. So let's just do a quick recap for myself and maybe not the listeners. But have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No.
Because you are from out there in Wenatchee.
I am.
Now, have you had any friends who have had experiences with the Bigfoot?
Yes.
Really? Now, what have they seen?
One of them got chased, and that's about it.
That's all you say.
One of them
you got
was
chased by chased. Bigfoot.
Chased, you say?
Chased, yeah, down a mountain path.
Now, was he captured?
I wish. I mean,
So he got away, you say?
Yeah. He must be a quick runner.
He must be a quick runner to have evaded this creature with such a long stride.
Well, that's the thing too. They were running down switchbacks on this trail, and apparently the creature was going straight down the hill and not down the switchbacks. So
how did they beat him?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm very skeptical.
So some details here do not quite add up.
Rich is skeptical of the story, he notes. Now,
Rich mentioned that they never saw this Bigfoot. How do they know it was, in fact, a Sasquatch? What evidence do they have to support this claim?
You know, that was my question. You know, that's the way it goes when you talk to people with big imaginations.
Visual evidence, Vinny. Visual evidence.
Such as?
It looked like one.
They just said they never saw it.
Oh, you're right.
They never saw it.
I've got you there.
Well, you win.
I've outwitted Brian.
All right, you win. All right, now let's get down to the meat of things. Rich and I have been watching a lot of Finding Bigfoot, and Rich, would you go as far as say you're a skeptic?
Oh yes.
So now you say it in such a manner that you don't believe in Bigfoot at all. Is that what you're saying?
There's a lot of things I don't believe in.
All right. Now you are willing to have an open mind and go on this expedition, like Renee. Is that correct from Finding Bigfoot?
Yes.
So you're
I don't know. She lends a lot of credulity to their stories, to their feelings, as opposed to their actual findings.
So Renee is actually, you're more of a skeptic than Renee.
She may be more skeptical. Just their editing does a lot of stuff to make it seem like she's a believer.
I see.
That's my thought, anyway.
Now, you are well aware that I'm going to edit this show to make you sound like Matt Moneymaker.
Who's up there on that hill? I'm going to get you.
So, you were contacted by my wife about this expedition, correct?
Yes. All right.
And you were down for this immediately.
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right. And now we have forwarded your information on as the team leader due to your great size. And you have made contact with this man. What's his name? Kirk?
Yes, Kirk.
Kirk. So I don't know what you discussed today. I know very little about it. So give Vinny and I an update on what Kirk had to say.
Well, it was very surreal. Just because, you know, the BFRO, you see it on TV, you hear about it on the internet. It's very far removed from my reality. And, you know, so I got a message from this guy. And it was, hello, this is Kirk from the BFRO. Just so funny to hear someone say, I'm with the BFRO.
Sure.
And, but he ended up calling me back today while I was at work. So I'm at work. Okay, I stepped away from my desk to talk to him. And I'm standing in the other room. And, you know, he's telling me about, oh, well, you know, we got to go over the ground rules of You know, no guns, no dogs. You can drink, but you can't get belligerent. So obviously you can't have your Christmas show there.
Oh.
Now, what if I'm belligerent without drinking?
Well, I don't know. I guess you're out, huh?
I'm always finding a loophole.
Well, I mean, they've got, I presume someone there's got a gun, Vinny.
Oh, well then, all right.
Well, and that's one thing I was asking him, like, well, what about, you know, bear? Because he was saying, he warned me, one of the first things was, it's going to be out in the mountains, it's going to be really cold at night, and potentially rainy, and it's going to be dark, and you aren't supposed to use flashlights. Like, okay, well, what about, you know, what if a bear is available, or is around available? And he said, well, I always take bear spray with me. And I looked it up. It's basically capsaicin spray. It's
you never heard of bear spray?
No, I haven't.
It's a very powerful mace.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So he says bring bear spray.
So we are required to bring the bear spray.
I believe so, yeah.
So we're essentially required to bring everything. Is that correct?
You know, that's one thing I should have asked him a little more. Anyway.
All right.
You know, I make a great team leader.
Well, we're all working together here with questions for the next time you speak to Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
So what else did he have to say?
Oh, man, there was a lot. Like, you know, so they are going to have thermal imaging equipment and night vision that's there supplied by the BFRO.
Wow.
And basically, we register, we go through this whole thing, and then we're part of a forum, an online forum, where we can meet the people who are going to be there. And
a Bigfoot
before,
board.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my. All right.
But 2 weeks before the actual meeting, they will release the information as to where it is exactly. They don't bring it up until then to prevent
contamination.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. I was thinking, you know, they're preventing people like me from going out there and messing with them.
I see. So they want to, they don't, well, I mean, that's still 2 weeks is enough time to get a suit.
24 hours is enough time to get a gorilla suit and hike around the woods.
Oh yeah, definitely.
About that.
Trust me on this one.
Oh really?
No.
You know, I'm not going to mess with anyone. You know, I want everyone to have a good time.
Me too.
Huh?
I do as well. I don't want to be shot with bear mace.
Well, that's a good point.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. That would suck, actually. I didn't think of that.
Now, did he talk about any encounters that we can expect to have on this expedition?
He said that they had an expedition in May, and they had 5 actual, like, sightings. And multiple instances of eye glow.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, they had people's tents that were getting scratched, and there's one of the, somebody had a pop-up camper, and something was on top of it pushing down.
Someone, a Bigfoot got on a man's camper?
Yeah. Yeah. There was one of those, and it's one of the pop-up kind, and he said they ran out, that the guy got a couple other people on the radio and had them come over to the camper and push down on the top, and they realized that it takes more than just a raccoon on top of it to make the top of the camper move.
Huh.
So, you know, it's very unscientific because he was saying, well, we feel that that women and children make the Bigfoot interested in the campers. But, you know, I've heard this line of reasoning, but when you say feel and you're talking about science, it's not really a scientifically viable thought.
Is this why we're bringing Rich along?
Mm.
Yeah. Also so that I can keep my mouth shut.
That's right. So, did they get any photographs on the last mission?
No, they didn't. He didn't mention any that he spoke of, though.
Hmm.
You did say, though, they have trap cams that are going to be available. And he said something about a vehicle with thermal mounted on top of the vehicle. So so you can drive around in this vehicle and direct the thermal with a joystick and search for Bigfoot.
This sounds like a lot of fun.
Dude, it sounds awesome.
How do you think of Vinny?
I'm not convinced.
You're not convinced it's going to be fun?
No.
Oh, what? Vinny. Worst case scenario, you're going to get 3 days out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Now, is it
with
true?
With you and Rich.
Well, how dare you. Now.
So are you staying in the hotel?
No, we're gonna camp.
Yeah.
I do not like the idea of Brian roughing it.
Why?
Because you're not a roughing it kind of guy.
See, people underestimate me. I'm a survivor, Vinny. I think you're going to be surprised.
If you come back.
Now, we will be able to go to the motel if need be.
Oh, yeah, I sure hope so.
Yeah. So I think, Vinny, that this would be a fun time. And now, Rich, is it true that he said most of the excitement occurs at night?
Yes. He said most of everything that you do occurs at night.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Bigfoot doesn't go to a sunshine stroll? Sunshine stroll?
Apparently not.
No, pick wildflowers in the meadows? Probably no sunshine stroll.
So during the day, Vinny, you're welcome to go off on your own on a hike and rendezvous with us hours later.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he did say, too, that because of the potential for bear and cougar, that they suggest that you always stay in a group of two.
Now, see, that's that right there. That is reason enough for me to stay home.
The bear and cougar?
Oh,
yes.
Come on. Well, as long as you're in a group of two, you'll be fine.
That's right. They only attack singles, Vinny.
Hmm.
Even the dumbest of animals can count more than one.
Hmm. All right, Rich. Well, was there any other important updates from Kirk about this trip?
Not that I can think of. Let's see. I covered that it's going to be cold and wet.
Presumably, it could be beautiful.
Yeah, it could be.
Mountains, Brian.
It's the end of July.
Washington.
I've seen mid-June you in the now. Cold, Brian.
Oh, that is true.
It was actually sunny this afternoon, but it rained this morning.
It'll be nearly August. People are listening to this right now legitimately expecting me to go into the mountains and die. You do realize that, don't you?
Yes.
That's why
I count myself among them.
I entrust... Well, Vinny, have you met George?
Yes.
You have? And Rich, you, of course, know George.
Oh, yeah.
I think that George is more likely to die in the mountains than myself.
How so?
What do you think, Rich?
I tend to agree with you, but...
Vinny, it all comes down to your theory. Who gets out of danger the quickest on foot?
The smallest, fast one.
That's not George.
Fair enough.
All right.
And that would be you.
That would be me.
That would be Brian, yeah.
And so really, Vinny, it's going to come down to you and Rich in a foot race.
I'll trip Vinny. I have no pride when it comes to staying alive.
Realistically, though, they'd eat George first, Vinny, and then you've got time to bolt.
I would have a much better chance of playing dead than trying to outrun Bigfoot.
Well, we don't know, because his friends managed to outrun Bigfoot as Bigfoot was going in a straight line, and they were zigzagging.
You've seen me run.
I haven't seen his friends run, though. They could be worse.
I assure you, I am a better actor than runner.
Well, that's
I can
true.
Act like a dead thing.
That is true.
I hope Bigfoot's not a scavenger. They're much slower.
All right, Rich. So when's the deadline that we have to get all of our information in?
Probably soon.
Hmm.
They did kind of say in the email that you got to do it soon, or else all the spots are going to be full.
Really, all the spots on the mountain?
Well, you know, the Finding Bigfoot show is probably drawing a lot of people to it.
Now,
this sounds like it's actually going to be like a recreation of Woodstock more than anything else.
Did your wife book you a trip for you and friends, or is Rich paying his own money here?
Rich is paying
you and friends.
He's paying a greatly reduced rate.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I should mention it on the air.
I don't either.
But let's just say that you could eat at the Cheesecake Factory for 3 days, and it would be more expensive than this trip. I'll just put it that way. I'll tell you off the air.
That's a lot of money.
Tell you off the air.
Well, you did say that it sounds like it's going to be a Woodstock. They did say no drugs as well.
Oh, well, man.
Oh, yeah, no drugs. Wink, wink.
Vinny. All right, Rich. Well, you...
Well, they thought they can come out and say, bring all your weed.
Well, they couldn't say that. You're right.
Yeah, so there you go.
But there are women and children there, so you've got to behave yourself, Vinny.
What are you saying?
That came off very poorly. I simply meant don't be a bad influence.
Yeah, idiot. Leave your needles at home.
That's right. All right, Rich. Well, thank you for the update. And keep us abreast of the situation. And I guess we will every now and then get updates from you on the latest news. And perhaps if you could get information from Kirk about some current sightings in the area, perhaps you can relay those to us as well.
Definitely.
And we'll have to get together to go get some bear mace.
Yeah, for sure.
We need to start preparing, like, you know, now, I think.
Maybe we could train on some bear takedowns.
Sure.
This is a horrible idea.
All right, Richard.
All right, you guys.
All right, go to bed. We'll talk to you here soon.
Have a good night.
All right.
Bye.
See you later. Vinny, don't sound convinced.
Bear takedowns.
Well, I'm sure he's joking about that part.
You can take down an animal that's on all fours anyway.
Well, it'd be easy to get its back.
I suppose.
Vinny, this is going to be a good time.
Hmm.
What do you think this guy's going to say? You know, you think this guy's going to go, you're going to go up there for 3 days, it's going to be beautiful, and you're not going to see anything. Of course not. You know, he's got to build it up like there's going to be adventure and excitement and danger. But if there was actually going to be excitement and danger, would he be encouraging 8-year-old children to come along? You know 8-year-olds, Vinny.
Yeah.
Usually you don't expose them to danger.
No.
Carlos, for example, little Carlos is 8. Can you imagine taking him up into the woods for 3 straight days? It'd have to be pretty safe up there.
He'd be very... I don't want to hang out with kids for 3 days.
Well, Vinny, I'll just put it this way. The mountain is large.
There is that.
It's going to be, you know, think about your average campground, multiply that by 1,000. Or potentially 10,000. And I think that's what we're talking about here, so.
Why don't you go and tell me if it's fun?
Oh, Vinny, you know Bridget's just going to hound you to go on this thing. Because all the ladies want to go out and enjoy themselves for 3 days when we're gone. It's part of the gimmick.
I want to go to girls' night. I want to go drink apple teenies. That's my scene.
I'm afraid that's not how it's going to work, my man. All right, let's play a quick song here. I know that people have been sending me a lot of them, and I know that we've got some good ones. So let's see what we've got. All right. This is from Tony Cito. He sent this to me, and apparently I must download it. But luckily I've got a quick computer. So are you ready? Here we go. I can't wait till Sony makes a song with Landstorm singing "Hurt So Good."
Conga line butt fuck. It hurts real good. It hurts real good. Loose odds and ends in my butt. Loose odds and ends in my butt. Loose odds and ends in my butt. It hurts real good. It hurts real good. It hurts real good. Really tender to touch for quite a while. Really tender to touch for quite a while. Really tender to touch for quite a while.
Hurts so good.
Conga line butt fuck.
It's coming. It's coming.
Perfect. 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 It hurts real good. It hurts real good. Conga line butt fuck. Which I heard fabulous things about with my students. With my students. With my students. It hurts real good. It hurts real good. It hurts real good. If you can do Keith Larson promos 2 weeks in a row, you can certainly do Lance Storm interviews 2 weeks in a row. Keith Larson. Keith Larson. Keith Larson. Keith Larson. Keith Larson. It hurts real good. It hurts real good. It hurts real good. Loose odds and ends in my butt. But. Loose odds and ends in my butt. But. Loose odds and ends in my butt. But. It hurts real good. It hurts real good.
It's really amazing that it's fallen to these depths. These depths. These depths.
Right back through the around. It was geek. It was geek. It was geek.
That's you, Vinny.
It's me. I made a cameo.
It was geek. That song was awesome.
I did find myself tapping the slide on my screen here.
That is from Tony Cito. It hurts real good. With Lance Storm. All righty. I got one more here I'll play after a while. But first, I suppose we should get into the Raw show, unfortunately.
I suppose I should open my notepad then.
Why don't you get that going there?
It would help if... What the hell? Hang on, computer's being slow. Open.
What we need on this show is more awkward silence.
I don't consider this awkward.
All you freeloaders out there, listen to me. If you've not been convinced yet by the talk about Bigfoot and the Ballad of Lance Storm, today is the day to sign up. Because by my calculations, now that today's over, between now and Sunday, I have 13 more radio shows to do.
Well, no wonder you want to run into the woods then.
Oh, yeah. I am going to be so happy to get away from audio for 3 days. Actually, Thursday, everybody, I may as well announce right now since it's all confirmed. Thursday is, in fact, the first time in the history of this website. And keep in mind, we've now been in operation for, what is it now, 7 years?
I don't like to think about
2005?
It.
My God, 7 years. For the first time in 7 years, everybody, I'm going to be doing 5 shows in a single day. We are going to have appearances by Todd Martin, Dr. Lucha Steve Sims, Roderick Strong, Johnny Gargano, and The Brian and Vinny Show. That is all in a single day.
I think it's way too much audio, and I should get it off.
Tomorrow, Matt Hardy is going to be on the show, as well as Josh Nason and Michael Chiesa, the winner of this season of Ultimate Fighter. Today, we had Bjorn Rebney, who is the head of Bellator, and Larry Zbysko for the most fascinating interview I have done in a long time. And that includes the interview that I did last week with Joe Park Esquire of TNA Pro Wrestling. Got UFC shows Friday and Saturday, and we may be joined by Terry Funk on Friday as well, plus Wrestling Observer Live on Sunday and Wrestling Observer Radio on Sunday after the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Everybody got all that? You can only hear it if you subscribe. And, of course, if you subscribe today, you don't have to miss out on last week's Joe Park Esquire show. You just jump into the archives and grab not only that, but 10,000 hours of audio. Every show that we've ever done dating back to 2005, 7 years worth of audio, is all available right now in the archives for you, the now former freeloader, I'm sure, as you jump onto the front page of WrestlingObserver.com to give us your $10.99 a month. That's all it costs, $10.99 a month, and you get all these shows and all of the past shows as well. If you like this show, God forbid, I guarantee you will love a subscription to the website. So try it out for 1 month. If you don't like it, you never sign up again. You never have to listen to my voice again. But I'm pretty sure if you try us out for a month, you'll be here for another 7 years. So give it a shot and let's see what happens. Vinny, let's do Raw.
So, as noted, I did not watch the pay-per-view. I did read the results. So, Laurinaitis got fired, and I immediately thought, well, he's going to be in the opening segment tomorrow night on Raw.
You're correct.
John Laurinaitis was in the opening segment on Raw. They didn't even hide it. They showed shots of him being fired, and then Michael Cole immediately announced that Laurinaitis would be on here to beg for his job
or
something.
Well, actually, on WWE.com, we knew that at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So they were in Long Island, so Mick Foley was there. He came out in an actual suit. It was the cheapest, most ill-fitting suit I've ever seen, but it was an actual suit. He said that they were bringing back past GMs, and he was the guy in charge this week, so he would be on Raw and SmackDown. He booked Kane and Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus and CM Punk. He brought out Laurinaitis for a farewell address. Fans boo Laurinaitis, so he left. But he did explain that before he was fired, he booked a main event for this show, which was himself and Big Show and David Otunga versus John Cena. This makes no sense, and I just don't care anymore.
It makes no sense for 2 reasons. Number one, why did they allow him to go through with this after he'd been fired?
I don't know.
And number two, if he expected on Sunday to beat John Cena, why would he book John Cena in a match on Monday?
I don't know.
Yeah, this sucked.
So, the good news is we had a fun tag match out of it. As noted, Sheamus and Punk versus Kane and Bryan had a very long match by Raw standards, like 15 minutes more. And everyone knew what they were doing, so it was really good. Especially when Punk got a hot tag and ran wild on Bryan. Then Bryan cut him off and hit a superplex. They're both down selling. Out comes AJ in a Kane getup, complete with a Kane mask. And she skips down the ramp, and she skips around the ring, and she skips back up the aisle. And this made this Kane followed her up the aisle. Brian was left alone. He was double teamed and pinned. They showed a slow motion replay of AJ skipping.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that was the highlight of the show right there.
I knew that dorks everywhere would be salivating at that.
I actually meant the match.
Oh, I see.
I promise I did. And then there's the other end of the spectrum. Dolph Swagger and Vicky Guerrero in a dress that I cannot believe they let her on TV to wearing this. I like Vicky. This was horrible. So, they booked the blow-off match. Dolph Ziggler versus Jack Swagger. It was not very good. Swagger worked over his leg. It was boring. And then Dolph escaped an ankle lock, hit the zigzag out of nowhere. Vicky kissed him. They left together. So, that's the end of that team.
For the time being, until they forget about it.
Probably. They showed clips of Hunter's promo from the pay-per-view where he challenged Brock to a match at SummerSlam. Then a limousine pulled up. They said perhaps Brock is in there. Actually, the highlight of Raw was the commercial for Money in the Bank that showed Alberto Del Rio living his luxurious life, taking baths in champagne, and laying out in the pool with women everywhere, and heating his living room by burning giant stacks of cash.
That's my future life.
Good. They've been doing these historic Raw moments. Everyone talking about why this moment is so great or that moment is so great. Most of them have not been great. Booker T actually picked himself versus Marcus Bagwell, which was the opposite of great. Jerry Lawler's favorite moment was the origin of Mr. Socko and Steve Austin assaulting Vince McMahon on a hospital bed and the legendary bedpan strike.
Mm-hmm.
This was the best, legitimately the best moment they've covered so far. So we had a segment with Brock and, or without Brock, but with Heyman and Hunter. Heyman came out and said Brock would not be fighting Hunter at SummerSlam, so Hunter came out and tried to put the match together. He called Brock a quitter and said if he's not scared, he'll show up. And Heyman said Brock's not falling for any of this. And he talked about pushing Hunter's buttons. He mentioned something about Stephanie, so Hunter grabbed him, but he still wouldn't hit him. So Heyman dared him to hit him, saying he was inside Hunter's head. He was smarter. He knew everything Hunter was going to do. Then Hunter punched him and said he would see Brock at SummerSlam. And I enjoyed this. I love Paul Heyman. It did not get over.
Paul Heyman was the best message board troll of all time in this segment. That's his gimmick. He's like a real-life message board troll.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. And, you know, I think Paul's doing a great job. Hunter's... he's trying. He ain't trying that hard, but he's trying. And Brock's sitting at home, not watching television or doing anything, but eating and hunting. But anyway, the storyline is based around dudes suing people.
Yeah.
There's a reason no one cares. It's a storyline built around dudes making contract demands and suing each other. That's not going to light the fire of your average fan.
No.
Even though it may be as close to real life as you're going to get.
That is true. They actually showed clips of the tuxedo match. This did not make me regret not watching the pay-per-view. Then, just to ensure if there was any
question... Which match was that they showed clips of?
The tuxedo match.
Oh, yeah, that sucked.
Just to ensure that we knew that Santino and the U.S. champion were a comedy figure, Alberto tapped him out in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Title was not on the line. Alberto did not want it. Then we got the Cyndi Lauper segment.
She looked fine for 60.
First of all, okay, a couple things. I had read earlier in the day that Cindy was going to be there, so it wasn't a huge surprise. But when they announced that Wendi Richter was there, that blew my mind. I was more surprised to see her than I was to see Piper.
Actually, I was significantly less surprised because I saw Wendi Richter at Cauliflower Alley.
Did she tell you I'm going to be on Raw in a few weeks?
No, in fact, from listening to her at Cauliflower Alley, I would have thought she would never be on Raw ever.
Exactly. That is, not that I'm an expert on Wendi Richter or anything, but from everything I had heard, they were not on good terms.
Well, it's been 25 years.
Business changes. That was the point of the segment, basically. Roddy Piper showed up. Now, for those of you who were not around in 1985, and frankly, I was not watching wrestling in 1985, at least not regularly, Roddy Piper and Cyndi Lauper were enemies.
You know what's funny? Somebody mentioned this. I don't know if I put in the daily update or not, but somebody emailed me. And he goes, they brought up that Roddy Piper and Cyndi Lauper were not always on the same page. That is a storyline from 27 years ago.
Yes.
And meanwhile, they can't even fucking remember what they did 2 weeks ago.
Of course. Of course. Oh, by the
way.
Incredible. Should I also mention that Roddy Piper got far and away the biggest reaction to on the show up to this point.
Well, actually, as I mentioned in the newsletter this week, the reason that they mentioned a week ago that every Raw until Raw 1000 was going to feature a former WWE superstar returning to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Vader got a bigger pop than anyone on the roster except John Cena, and so they immediately dropped that idea.
Well,
and then they did the GM thing, and it happened again with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
We have seen this many times.
Yeah, no one's over today.
No. The point of all this was Roddy apologized to Miss Richter and Miss Lauper. That's what he called them. He explained that once there was a great manager named Lou Albano, and Roddy, when he was having a bad day, he said he broke a record over Lou's head.
Yeah.
He felt bad about it. He wanted to return the gold record to Cyndi. They had a nice display frame. They were like both weeping. They embraced. This is a wonderful story. And then they had Heath Slater there to be a geek and sing so Cyndi could break the record over his head. She destroyed this thing. He bled. Piper was making fun of him. This was awesome. Except Michael Cole, who was, of course, just Vince's mouthpiece, was laughing, giggling about it, talking about how horrible it was, and burying it as garbage. So many negative reactions to that. First of all, as discussed, these guys who can't even do shit anymore are seen as such bigger stars by the audience than the quote-unquote superstars who you've been trying to make for years now. So when you bury this segment, you actually insult the fans who enjoyed it, which is all of them. Two, if you actually believe this is going to be bad television, why did you put it on your show?
Well, that one I can at least explain.
Please.
Well, they often put horrendous segments on television, and it's train wreck television, and millions of people cannot turn the channel.
No, that is true. That has happened before.
That's why.
Well, there you go, but I was just, I can't say angered, because
I was annoyed because
I was annoyed.
Michael Cole started going off about how much this sucked. I don't know if he jumped the gun, or if Vince jumped the gun, or what, but like, it had barely even began, and Cole was talking about how horrendous it was.
Doing a shitty fake laugh.
And I was like, you know, it probably is going to get horrendous when like Heath Slater starts singing and everything like that. But it ain't horrendous yet. It just began. And he's sitting here telling us that he's apologizing for the segment, all this and that. And it was just like, this sucks.
This is.
It sucked.
I hate this company. I hate it so much. They showed AEW turning on the colognes and joining the primetime players.
The colons.
That is what it looks like. And then they did a 3-minute tag match that nobody cared about. AEW and his team won. I know, I take it back. They did not win.
You jumped the gun because you tried to instill logic into this storyline.
I subconsciously. What I wanted to do was talk about this and move on, so I said what I assumed happened. Upon reading my notes here, I realized that no. The Puerto Ricans were trying a dive, but AW pulled his men out of the way and then they all just walked out. Count out. Which actually, if you want, I mean, technically, wasn't the four-way at the pay-per-view for a title shot?
Yes, it was.
Well, then,
I argued this last night, okay. But Dave argued that they took the match, and then they walked out, so they should have lost their title shot. Whereas I argued they shouldn't have even taken the match in the first place.
I am closer to your argument, but yeah, they had nothing to gain by winning here, so I didn't mind them backing out. And your point of why do they even take the match then, I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of their appearance fee. They said Jericho will be back next week. So, Laurinaitis and Otunga and Big Show came out. Show starts talking about... Laurinaitis said something. That sucked. Who cares? Show talked about his contract for a while, said he didn't owe anything to the fans, or to Laurinaitis for that matter. Then he bailed. So, we got Cena versus Otunga with Laurinaitis in the corner. You can imagine how fun this was. So David Otunga is wrestling. And he tries to tag out to Laurinaitis, who has a neck brace and a crutch. What a fool. He thought the cripple could do better than him. Eventually, Cena runs into the corner like an idiot. David Otunga worked him over, and it was very boring.
And boy, did he ever take that corner.
Whatever, I don't care. So, Laurinaitis tagged himself in. He tore off his crutch, or his neck brace and his crutch, and beat up Cena a little bit. Fans were chanting, "We want Ryder." So, Otunga, at this point, for reasons that are still not clear to me, walked out. I don't know why he didn't walk out at the beginning. If he was going to walk out at all. So, Cena hit a bunch of FUs, and Laurinaitis tapped out, and the show ended. And that was Raw, everyone.
You sound thrilled.
This company sucks.
Wow. I'm looking at the Wikipedia here of Cyndi Lauper. 58 years old.
Yeah.
She's only 2 years younger than Larry Zbysko, ironically. And it says that she's released over 40 singles, and as of 2011, it sold more than 50 million albums worldwide, 1 million DVDs, and 20 million singles, making her one of the best-selling artists of all time. Now, I realize that I'm not exactly on the pulse of pop culture, but to me, Cyndi Lauper disappeared in about 1986.
Those facts are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, yes, she...
But let me tell you what's astonishing.
All right.
Not only did she not disappear in 1986, and she's been actually working consistently since that time, but 2010-2011 touring season, she did more performances than any other year in her entire career, including her peak in the mid-80s.
Well, that's surprising.
In 1983, I guess 1983 through 1985, it just says 1983/1985, the Fun Tour, she did 111 performances. And that was the most performances that she did from that point forward until, for whatever reason, 2010-2011, when she did the Memphis Blues Tour, and she did 143 performances, meaning she was on the road more days than virtually everyone in WWE outside CM Punk and John Cena. That's something else.
Yeah. She works hard and she's popular.
Let's check out some of the awards. She won a Grammy, or she's nominated for Grammys in 1990, 1999, 2005, 2009, and 2011.
Okay, that is news.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
I frankly am stunned.
Although she has only won a single Grammy, Best New Artist, shockingly, in 1985. How about that?
I thought she was older than that, honestly.
58 years old. I actually thought she was younger when she first came out.
I didn't mean her age. I mean, I thought her Best New Artist year would have been like 83.
I see. And she actually, when they showed footage of her in 85, she looked about 12.
So I thought maybe
she's only in her 40s. But no, in fact, she was not. She was ranked by Rolling Stone, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, the number 22 of the top 100 music videos of all time. That, of course, starred Lou Albano. And 100 Greatest Songs of the 80s. Girl Just Want to Have Fun and Time After Time. How about that?
Time After Time is a great song.
Time After Time, Vinny.
So is True Colors.
Which also was listed as one of the 100 greatest pop songs by Rolling Stone and MTV in the year 2000, number 66. How about She's So Unusual? That's actually the album.
Yeah. Which one had She Bop?
I don't even know if I know that song. I must have heard it.
It was very popular in the 1980s.
Let's play a little bit of a She Bop here. Here we go. Here on our Wendy Richter edition of the Brian and Vinny Show. There's actually an advertisement playing right now, which I refuse to play here on the air. All right, here's a little bit of She Bop. What a futuristic looking video. This video sucks.
Man, this is like a super remix version. I haven't listened to the song in a long time. That's not how I remember it.
I don't know what this is. Is this Cyndi Lauper, She Bop? Let's fast forward a little bit. Maybe there's something you remember.
This is what the song sounds like.
Here we go. I know this song.
Yeah.
Hey, there's Lou Albano. How about that? I think. Might be Zoob's Rift. Or my Uncle Wayne. I'm not sure. We are old, Vinny. Good God Almighty. There are kids today that look at the 80s like we look at like the 60s. Depressing. All right, everybody. I think that's it for today. Oh, yeah. I had another song I was going to play, didn't I?
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
All right.
All right. Hold on, everybody. I may edit this out. I'm not positive because I don't know if I necessarily trust this individual. But he sent me this song, and so I'm going to give him a chance and play it. Here we go.
The Ryback had a mental breakdown at Panera Bread. The Ryback goes in there, and he legitimately at one point gave up and, like, stormed over to me and Cody Rhodes and said, there's nothing I can eat here. Like, and this is a legitimate quote. He said, I mean, guys like you can eat here. Like, implying us guys who are less than 220 pounds, we can eat at Panera Bread, but there's nothing for him. And we're like, calm down, you know. There's they have steak stuff there, and they have chicken stuff. And he goes up there, and he's like, "Do you have chicken breast? And do you guys have salads? Do you guys have salads?" And there's a huge thing right there that says "premium salads." He's the Ryback. The Ryback and Panera have legit heat.
That's what he said.
That actually made the whole thing better. Yeah, imagine that car ride. Daniel Bryan, the Ryback, as they call him, and Cody Rhodes are a traveling trio down the roads.
Wrestling is weird.
Wrestling is awesome. And I'll bet the Ryback gets the smallest car he can find, because that's what those big fellas always do. All right, everybody, I'm wrapping it up here for today. It's a little early, but that's okay. Subscribers sign up, 15 shows by myself. I'm not even talking about everybody else that does shows on this website. That's just me. 15 shows between Tuesday and Sunday. And everything in the archives as well. Plus, we got newsletters, believe it or not. Figure Four Weekly, Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Check those out. Back issues, all the good stuff. So, anyway, back tomorrow, we are going to be joined by Michael Chiesa of Ultimate Fighter. For those of you that are big UFC fans, and for those of you that are, well, I don't know what kind of fan you have to be, but Matt Hardy's on the show, everybody. Now, Matt apparently has turned his life around. So, we're going to find out tomorrow how much he's turned it around. He's going to be our guest on the program. So, anyway, got a lot of stuff tomorrow, so check it out, everybody. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Yeah, bye.